So after having identified the liberation or nirvana, so then that desire to achieve liberation is called the renunciation. So what His Holiness has been saying, that Chinese word is the liberation army. So the liberation army actually, so in our case, it should be something which liberates from the delusions, not the external enemy. So it should be liberation army to liberate delusions. So His Holiness reads through the text, just as the development of the desire to quench one's thirst, for instance, depends on seeing thirst as undesirable, likewise, the development of the desire to attain liberation, which thoroughly pacifies the suffering of the aggregates, one is taken on also depends on seeing their shortcomings, the fact that they have suffering as their nature. Therefore, if you meditate on the shortcomings of cyclic existence and the desire to reject them does not arise, the desire to attain the pacification of suffering will not emerge either, because in the 400 verses it says, who is not disenchanted here, how could he have respect for peace? So this being so, there are 2 points on that. The truth of suffering, considerations of the shortcomings of cyclic existence and the origin, considerations on the stages of the involvement in cyclic existence. So when you think about looking at the falls of this samsara, it has to be done in 2 ways. First, by way of seeing to the falls of suffering, and second, by way of looking at the falls of the causes of these sufferings. And when you do with the latter one, it is specifically more important to actually try to point to the falls of delusion and delusions, one of the 2 causes of the sufferings, rather than to the karma. So in Buddhist literature, there's the mention of 3 kinds of suffering. The suffering, suffering change, and the pervasive or conditioned suffering. So the identification of the suffering is basically already taught during the teaching on the different suffering states of the three lower realms. And whereas the suffering of change basically comprises of all those contaminated pleasurable experiences. Because all those contaminated pleasurable experiences, they end up with suffering. So the kind of the goal that is presented during the teaching common to the lower school person, that is the higher birds, and the pleasurable experiences of the higher birds, they are then pointed as the of suffering nature here in this topic, the teachings in common to the intermediate beings or the middle school person. So they then, on top of pointing to the pleasurable experiences of experiences as suffering, so they then, it still goes further to point even to the conditioned suffering or the are being under the domination of delusions as the suffering. So what is the conditioned suffering then? So here, it should be actually understood as those very contaminated aggregates which are derived through the power of delusions and their respective karmas. And it goes further by saying that that very contaminated birth, that very contaminated state of the birth that happens in samsara through the power of delusions and the respective karma is to be pointed as the conditioned suffering, the subtlest of the sufferings. So when one really realizes that, this samsaric birth in itself is of the ultimate suffering. So there then you tend to obtain such a sense of repulsion towards delusions, which is actually the root cause for this contaminated or the burden samsara. So then you will naturally have a sense of desire to free yourself from the delusion. So that desire to free yourself from delusion is called the renunciation or the desire for liberation. So he said that how to reflect on these the faults or the shortcomings of samsara. So he said that the desire for one to be liberated from the suffering, so that is even present even among the animals or the cattle. Because even the cattle, they don't desire for any evident pains and suffering. So this is not something surprising that you generate. And then, whereas the next, that is, that desire to liberate yourself from the contaminated experience of pleasure. So that is present even with the non-Buddhist practitioners. Again, that too is not surprising, because these non-Buddhist practitioners who are aspiring to achieve the highest states of birth in the form and formless realm, they then try to look for the faults and shortcomings of the contaminated experience of pleasures. And whereas, what is so unique about Buddhism in terms of identification of suffering is the identification of the contaminated aggregates as the contaminated aggregates, the very derivative or the very result of delusions and their contaminated actions. So that should be actually pointed to as the suffering, which is the subtlest. So that is what is being emphasized in the Buddhist literature. So if one can really desire to achieve liberation from those aggregates, contaminated aggregates, so which is very much like the container for all the shortcomings of samsara, sickness, aging, death, and so forth. So that is the actual, the authentic, sense of renunciation. So that is actually what is being encouraged in the Buddhist among the Buddhist practitioners. So here we see that the teachings in common to the intermediate beings is taught in relation to the Four Noble Truths. So the Buddhism has to be actually something based on the Four Noble Truths. Also feel like saying this. So when I speak about guru devotion, so I think that is very strong. There is very much strong and strongly emphasized even in the non-Buddhist traditions. And also relinquishing one's own concern of this life and even your life, and then dedicating entirely for the practice. So actually I noticed, on some occasions I noticed that there are a great number of great practitioners among the non-Buddhists. So definitely they really seem to have a tremendous sense of guru devotion. Then also the reflection on impermanence of death. But one thing that they are lacking is the proper identification of the Four Noble Truths, and then pointing to the delusions, and especially to the subtlest root of the delusions, that is, the self-grasping mind. So identification, that is something which is only found in the Buddhist teachings. So in terms of the proper sequence of the evolutionary sequence, so it should be the case that the suffering, the cause of suffering should be taught first, and then the truth of suffering next, and then third should be actually the path, which is the cessation, and then the cessation last. And then, but in terms of generating the various realizations of the identification of these four noble truths, so then the kind of the sequence that we find normally is according to the realizations that you achieve in terms of identification of these four truths. So you first identify the truth of suffering first, and then next the truth of the truth of the cause of suffering, next the truth of the cessation of the cause and the suffering and the respective causes, and the truth of the path which leads to the cessation. So the qualm raised here is that if you speak about the evolutionary sequence, it should be the Buddha should teach the truth of suffering, truth of cause of suffering first. Whereas the Buddha taught it in a reverse way. So then the answer given is that no, it is matter, because the order in which the Buddha said corresponds to the order in which the realizations of the identifications of these four different truths comes about in a single individual practitioner.